Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely Good Friday, 2023. I'm Dan the Produce Man, and today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Podcast and sponsored by Buck Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy, Sunrays, the snack with impact, and Dole Fresh Fruit and Vegetables. Yes, that's right, folks. It's a beautiful day here in the San Francisco Bay. No rain in sight, at least for another week. And then I think then it's a few sprinkles. The weather. Yeah, it has been wetter, that's for sure. The weather around the state seems to be nice and warm. We're going to have it up into the 80s and 90s down in the desert and the 70s and 80s here in the Watsonville, Monterey areas coming up. And of course, here in the Bay Area, where it's, you know, if you live by the Bay, it's always windy and chilly, but we're going to have some warmth too. So we're looking forward to fields drying out, being pumped out, and holding that snow melt back so it doesn't come down and flood us all over again. We'll keep our ears peeled and our eyes open. Or is it the other way around? Our eyes peeled. I could never stand that saying, keep your eyes peeled, because, man, it just sounds painful, doesn't it? All right, okay, okay, all right. Let's check this out without a doubt. So I was stocking the produce stand many years ago. I was probably, in my early 20s at this point, when I heard a little boy pick up a rhubarb rib and shake it at his sister, and he said, red celery. And she picked up two of the rhubarb ribs and started shaking them at him and said, red frog legs, probably referring to the leaf end of the rhubarb rib where it would have connected to the leaf. But obviously that gets cut off, and we'll get into that. Anyway, they both put them back on the stand and yelled something like, yuck, and rushed the cart back to their waiting mother. Now, many years ago, California field rhubarb was happening. Well, it's a thing of the past now because rhubarb needs chill hours, and we just don't have what it takes for the crimson rib. That's all there is to it. At one time, we did grow special varieties developed by Luther Burbank, and he developed those to grow year-round here in the Golden State, which, according to Burbank, was a milder, lower acid rib with a flavor resembling strawberries or raspberries. But at the end of the 80s, the fields were pretty much gobbled up by developers, and at this point, there's only a handful of small growers along the coast, mostly selling at farmers markets. However, commercial production of rhubarb from Oregon, Washington State, Michigan, it's available April through June, with peak season next month in May, and sometimes it even goes all the way into August, but by then it's a little bit more tough and fibrous, but at least we have it, right? Now, fresh rhubarb is also available from greenhouses pretty much year-round, and you can always tell the difference between the two by the thickness and color of the stalks. Fancy greenhouse rhubarb is thinner and more pinkish-red in color, with the extra fancy pack being a deeper crimson in color. But field rhubarb is thick. You hold that in your hand versus the hothouse rhubarb, and it's kind of like the difference between holding a silver 50-cent piece in your hand over a silver-plated 50-cent piece. So, you can always feel the realness of the silver in the silver coin, and that's the way it is with a field rhubarb. You feel it. You feel the girth, the strength, the stamina of the field rhubarb. and it's more crimson in color. But both varieties are great for cooking. I just prefer the field grown. Now, when I was young'un running around the countryside of the Green Mountain State, that would be Vermont for all of you who have not passed your geography lessons, I took for granted all of the wild fruit and vegetables that pretty much grew everywhere. I loved summertime, of course, because there was no school. I would head out in the mornings on adventures on my bike. We'd drop our bikes and run around the fields and dirt roads. Man, that was all ours. That was just the open countryside was ours. And it was a just completely natural event to stop by the side of a dirt road to eat raspberries and blackberries just growing wild there right off the vines. And you learn at a young age which ones are sour and which ones are really ripe. And you always want the nice ripe ones because they slide off easy and don't have any sour flavor. And then I'd pedal down the road and stop at a field and trudge through all the tall grass, pass a brook. Maybe it had some pollywogs in it swimming around. And there were wild apple trees growing around. So I remember green ones and some sort of Macintosh offshoot or something. And grab some wild apples and dandelion greens and wild horseradishes. It was all over the place. And then wild rhubarb. And man, I loved the stuff. I would pick it and crunch on it and enjoy the sour, thirst-quenching stalk. Sometimes until I ate too much of it and started to get a little bit of a, you know, a stomach action there. Now, of course, I kept in mind the warning from my elders not to eat the leaves. They are poisonous and can be fatal if they're eaten. And that's due to rhubarb's oxalic acid content, which is extremely higher in the leaves than it is in the stalks. And my mother, being a farm girl from Vermont, and of course my dad being a city boy from New York, she knew all the plants that you could eat if you ever got lost or stranded. You know, she'd give me a squirt gun full of onion juice in case a wild cat came along or something. I squirt them in the eye. But she knew all the plants, and one of them was wild rhubarb. And she very, very, very much expressed the dangers of eating the leaves. So that was pounded in my head. Sometimes I'd bring a little bit of salt with me and put it in a wax bag, and we'd sprinkle that on the rhubarb and eat it. And, you know, people get grossed out, but it's, you know, look, did you eat Sour Patch Kids when you were little? Or sour Jawbreakers or anything like that? Similar situation. Now, when I was 10 years old, my family uprooted us from the state of Vermont, drove across the country in this squeaky gray Cadillac with a U-Haul trailer hitched to the back. So we had to leave a lot of stuff back east. And we drove across the country. We moved to Washington State for a little bit, just a few months, and then we moved down here to the Isle of Style, Alameda, California, which is nestled right in the heart of the San Francisco Bay Area. And it was a whole new world for me. I remember a trip to the grocery store after we first arrived here and walking through the produce department, seeing all kinds of cool fruits and vegetables that, you know, we just didn't have where I was, and I noticed rhubarb on the counter for sale. I couldn't believe it. In fact, I just laughed my rear off and pointed it out to my parents. I said, they actually get money for this? This stuff's a weed, man. And this was my first lesson in California produce. Rhubarb was a big cash crop. And to me, it was a weed that grew wild, you know, here and there. I never dreamed that they would sell it in the stores. But, hey, you learn something new every day, right? All right, let's hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Equifruit, an importer and marketer of fresh bananas. Equifruit is committed to 100% fair trade, which means no crummy wages, super safe working conditions, and nothing but love for the ladies. Driving innovation through impossible to ignore merchandising, Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
All right, a little bit of rhubarb history here. Rhubarb dates back as far as 2700 BC in China and Tibet. It's also a relative of sorrel and I believe buckwheat. And it was in those ancient days they cultivated it mainly for its medicinal purposes of the root as a cleansing property for digestion. By the 1600s, through travel and trade over the years, it made its way to Europe, where it was also used for medicinal purposes. And then by the 1700s, it was discovered that that tangy red stock had some pretty darn good culinary properties. And then, of course, by the 1800s, rhubarb made its way here to good old America. And then in 1947, the U.S. Customs Court in Buffalo, New York, spent taxpayers' dollars and a decent amount of time. All right, so history of rhubarb dates all the way back to 2700 BC in China and Tibet. It's a relative of sorrel and I believe buckwheat, and was cultivated mainly for the medicinal purposes of the root, for cleansing the digestive tract. And then by the early 1600s, through travel and trade, it made its way to Europe, where they were using it for its medicinal purposes. And then by the 1700s, it was finally discovered that the tangy red stock had some pretty darn good culinary properties. And then by the early 1800s, it had made its way here to the good old USA. And then, of course, red tape comes along with a red rib. By 1947, the U.S. Customs Court in Buffalo, New York, headed up by Judge Genevieve Klein, had spent taxpayers' dollars and a decent amount of time on deciding whether rhubarb was a fruit or a vegetable. Well, you know, maybe Judge Klein forgot what she had learned in school, that a fruit is the ovary of a seed-bearing plant, or at least the fertile spore-bearing part of a plant, and a vegetable is an edible part of a plant, such as a leaf, a root, or in this case, the stalk. Well, it all had to do with the import duty on fruits and vegetables. 35% fruit, 50% veg. So, the court decided that since rhubarb was used as a fruit, it would be considered a fruit. So, that's what they did. Kind of like avocados, a fruit that's used as a vegetable, maybe? I don't know. I think it's its own thing myself. What if it was the other way around and that we were dealing with, instead of rhubarb, pumpkins or tomatoes or avocados? Be pretty interesting, wouldn't it? Anyway, now that all that legal garbled red tape is out of the way, America could go on with its rhubarb lives. I have absolutely no problem eating rhubarb fresh. Folks over the years, colleagues of mine in the produce business, they would get pretty grossed out when I would bite into it raw because it is incredibly sour and juicy, but boy, will it quench your thirst. But every time I bite into rhubarb, it takes me back to the time of a child, the innocent times, the more simple times running around the fields of northern Vermont as a kid. Obviously, more conventional uses for rhubarb include bread, cake, candy, pie, yes, ice cream, wine, that's right, pickles, sauces, jams, and jellies. Of course, one of the most popular uses is its use in strawberry rhubarb pie or rhubarb strawberry pie, whatever you want to call it. Compote is the base of most of the recipes, and it can also be used with lamb or pork. To make a simple rhubarb compote, all you got to do is peel the thin skin from about 5 or 6 stalks, or at least a pound of the fresh rhubarb cut off, cut off the leafy portions like we had told you before, and trim off the basal end, which is where it would connect to the ground. Then cut the rhubarb into about pieces around an inch. Add a cup of sugar and a half teaspoon of lemon juice to preserve the red color. And then you just cook it on medium heat for about 10 minutes until it gets soft and begins to fall apart. That's it. Then the compote's ready for pies and tarts and even meat sauce. And you can freeze it for later use. So a lot of folks would come into my store and buy rhubarb for that reason. So when you select rhubarb in the store, look for deep red, firm ribs. Stay away from flabby ribs that are limp and bendable. That's a sign of dehydration and age. Another indication of old rhubarb, sounds like a book, old rhubarb, is well-trimmed ribs and sunken browning spots on the edges. Fresh rhubarb will still have 3 to 4 stem pieces at the top where the leaf was. It'll also have fresh and clean-looking basal end. Once it's picked, the shelf life is pretty short. Keep it refrigerated until you're going to use it, and use it shortly after you buy it. Lots of vitamin C, beta-carotene, calcium, and potassium in rhubarb. And then don't forget about all the rhubarb festivals out there to commemorate the culinary diversity of this tart vegetable, or excuse me, fruit, according to Judge Genevieve Klein and U.S. Customs. There's a week-long celebration in Nova Scotia. I don't know what it consists of, but it's a week-long celebration, so maybe you get a lot of that rhubarb wine. What do you think? The Rhubarb Championships in Wakefield, England. And then, of course, here in the good old USA, National Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day, which is on June 9th. So, rhubarb in the stores now, folks, being harvested in April. And go out and get it. And, you know, give it a try. Cut a little piece off. Skin it a little bit. That thin skin comes off very easily. Just put a little sprinkle, a dab of salt, and pop it in your mouth and try it. It's kind of like folks like to put salt on sour apples. Same thing. Give it a shot. Maybe your stomach will feel really good, too. All right, folks, that's it for this week's Fresh from the Field Fridays. Be sure to tune in to and listen to and download the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube. And don't forget about the Produce Industry app. You gotta have that. Download that now on your smartphone, on your tablet, on your watch, on your forehead, wherever else you can download an app to. Get that Produce Industry app because it is a fantastic resource. And don't forget to check out my YouTube and Rumble pages called Dan the Produce Man. And all my social media can be found at DanTheProduceMan.com. And real quick, did you know that rhubarb can grow up to like 5 feet high? Different varieties. And also, rhubarb was always used back in the old days of Hollywood and theater, referred to as background conversation in movies and plays of crowds, background conversations. That was called rhubarb. So there you go. All right, folks. Until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.